What's up, you guys? Welcome back to Flickers of Fear, and we're still in March, so we're still doing Monster March, where we're talking about all kinds of monster movies. Now, this movie right here was another one that kind of seemed to go under my radar, and I didn't realize until I started researching it that since it came out in 1998, it's really kind of developed a rather large cult following. And I actually didn't realize this until I noticed that two of my very favorite movie review YouTubers, Ryan Hollinger and Oliver Harper, had both separately done a standalone episode on this movie. And I was kind of like, well, maybe this is a good time to, to see that, because I feel like it was one that I sort of vaguely remember hearing about it when it came out. But when it came out, I'll get into that in a bit, it really didn't do all that well, and it sort of got forgotten about. So I kind of feel like it's one of those ones that appreciation for it has grown a lot over the years. So the movie I'm talking about is Deep Rising from 1998. Now, this was actually directed by Stephen Sommers, who would go on to do some massive hits, The Mummy, not the Tom Cruise one, the Brendan Fraser one, and The Mummy Returns. He did Van Helsing, which I wasn't a big fan of, but okay. But yeah, so he did actually go on to helm some really large, big Hollywood tentpole type movies in the early 2000s. And I kind of feel like at first, when this movie was first conceived, I feel like the studio behind it, which is actually Disney through another one of their, other studios that they owned, I kind of feel like they were initially thinking this was going to be kind of like a big vehicle for Harrison Ford, because he was actually supposed to play the main character. Now, at the time that this was, being kind of knocked about like they were going to make it, Stephen Sommers, the original screenplay was actually called Tentacle. And at the point when they were talking about making it, there really weren't any kind of big monster, like old school B-movie big monster type of movies. So they thought maybe this was probably like a good bet. And if they could get like a big star like Harrison Ford to be in it, then maybe they could really cash in with the shit. But as it happened, because of various delays and whatnot, this ended up coming out much later than it was initially intended to. Not only was it released in the quote-unquote dump month of January, where everyone's just kind of like not really seeing all that movies and that many movies, and that's usually where studios, not so much nowadays I feel like, but for a long time that's kind of where studios would dump a lot of their movies that they thought weren't going to do all that well, and they would just put them out then. But by the time this came out, there had already been some other monster movies from other studios like Mimic and The Relic and Anaconda and stuff like that. So, so this one didn't really look all that original by comparison, even though, as far as I know, it was kind of the first one that was supposed to be made. But, because various things intervened, it ended up coming out later than it should have. And I will note, too, that it might have suffered because at this point, Titanic was out. And Titanic pretty much shit on every single other fucking movie, because Titanic, if you weren't around in the late 1990s when Titanic came out, it was such a huge cultural juggernaut that, people were going to the theater to see it, like, multiple times. So any other movie that came out in proximity to it, and it was the number one at the box office for, like, 4 months or, like, some ridiculously long time. So people were going to see it multiple times, and it was, like, pretty much crushing, like, every other movie that came out, in the months of its release. So this movie might have suffered from that a little bit as well. Now, as I said, initially it was supposed to have Harrison Ford in it. It's supposed to be like, but there's like really good people working on this. Rob Bottin, who obviously did The Thing, among many other things, did the special effects work on it, although we'll get into that in a minute too. But so this actually did have big people working on it. But when Harrison Ford turned the movie down, Disney kind of shunted this off to one of their, I don't know if you want to call it one of their lesser studios, but at this point in time, in 1998, Disney had, I believe, four other studios that weren't called Disney under their, their umbrella. Now, two of them kind of operated on their own, but then they had these two, Touchstone, which was kind of their more independent, indie movie, like more Oscar bait, kind of high end type of studio. And then they had Hollywood Pictures, which was kind of more their B picture kind of thing. But both of those, they had them, Disney had them, so that they could release more adult-oriented pictures, you know, and then they could keep the Disney brand just for kid stuff or family stuff. So this kind of got shunted down to Hollywood Pictures, and the budget was cut when Harrison Ford couldn't come in to be in it, and I believe this movie ended up costing $45 million. Unfortunately, it made less than $12 million back at the box office for some of the reasons that I've already gone into. So it was quite a big failure. Also, a very big critical failure, strangely. Siskel and Ebert, they very famously hated this movie, which I don't really get. I mean, this is actually a really fun movie, and I don't really get why they hated it so much. I mean, there was a lot shittier movies that came out in 1998, that's for goddamn sure. But I don't know why they hated it so much, but they did actually put it on their most hated list. And a lot of critics, while they didn't hate it, were just kind of like, oh, it's very derivative. It's basically like, you know, Alien on a boat, which, sure, yeah, it is that. But honestly, Alien was such a massive, I mean, it's such a masterpiece that, yeah, it's, and I don't want to say, like, every movie that's like Alien, oh, well, it's not good because it's just like Alien. As I said, horror as a genre, monster movies, there's really not a lot of, you know, play there if you want to stay within that genre. So you're going to see tropes repeating, and that absolutely does not bother me at all, as long as you're not ripping something off completely, as long as you have some new kind of angle that you're coming at it from, then I'm not bothered if it's kind of like, and you know, one example that me and Tom have talked about a lot was the movie Underwater, which came out a couple years back, and you know, people said, oh, it's Alien, but like underwater, like in an underwater drilling station or whatever, and I'm like, yeah, but it was still like a really good movie. Like, I found it really entertaining, and it's the same with this one. This is just like a really fun monster movie, and honestly, it's not just a monster movie, because for almost the first, not quite the first half, but it's almost kind of like a crime, like a heist movie, and then like with little hints that there's like some monster action like coming up on the horizon, and then it goes full on gory monster movie. Now, I think the producers too really were pushing to knock out some of the gore and make this more of a PG-13, but to their credit, like the director and everything like that, we're just like, absolutely not, we're keeping this as an R rating, and indeed this is like quite gory. Now, the special effects in it, as I said, Rob Bottin worked on it, and I believe some of the effects are practical, but I don't know, it's kind of hard to tell how much of the practical effects still ended up on the final cut of the movie, because the monster in this is very, very obviously CGI, and it's really not very good CGI. Now, it's good CGI for the time, because like I said, they did spend a lot of money on this movie. It's not like cheap or anything like that, but even good CGI from 1998 still looks pretty shitty, like by today's standards, particularly when the monster, you know, like eats somebody or something like that, and it's just like shaking around this rubbery looking, you know what I mean? And it's just, the monster is just like too shiny and shit like that, but it's like a minor quibble. As I said, it had good special effects for the time. It's not the movie's fault that that CGI just really hasn't aged that well. And honestly, in the late 90s, they were using CGI for every fucking thing, and that's why I'm a big advocate, especially if you're doing gore effects, monster effects, stuff like that. Where possible, I think it's better to use as much practical effects as you can, because it won't age, whereas CGI absolutely does. And, you know, even a couple years from now, CGI from movies now is not going to look as good as it will later. So practical effects, always better, especially in horror movies. So what we have in this movie, since they couldn't get Harrison Ford, they actually got Treat Williams, a character actor who's been in 50 bajillion things. So he's kind of playing, I guess, I don't know, this movie would have been very, very different, I think, with Han Solo in the lead. I kind of feel like he might have been too serious. I think they wanted him because the main character, played by Treat Williams in this, is sort of like a Han Solo type. You know what I mean? He's sort of like morally gray type of dude, and he's kind of a little bit of a mercenary, even though he's good-hearted. So I kind of feel like they were going for sort of like a Han Solo thing, but honestly, I think by the time 1998 had rolled around, I think Harrison Ford had shed a lot of that persona, because he was, you know, playing more kind of like executive type roles, or, you know, like I'm a secret service agent, or like action type roles. So I'm not sure. I don't know. I just kind of, maybe I'm totally off base on that, but I was thinking about this earlier. Like, what would this movie have been like with Han Solo in it, with Harrison Ford in it, as he was in 1998? I'm not sure it would have been quite as fun, because the thing that's cool about this movie is that everybody looks like they're having a really good time. I mean, they know this is just like a big fun monster movie, and no one's taking it all that seriously. But on the other hand, it's not like a straight up comedy either. But everybody just really does look like they're having a good time. And I'm really not sure if you would have got the same vibe with Harrison Ford in it. So Treat Williams is the main character. Famke Janssen is also in this, even though I think they wanted Claire Forlani originally, but she was only on the set for a few days and didn't get along with the director, so she quit. Famke Janssen, they actually weren't going to put her in the movie because she had just been in GoldenEye, and they thought that she was too... They wanted people that were maybe more character actors or weren't as well known, but they did end up putting her in it. She actually plays kind of like a jewel thief who's on this cruise ship. And there's also a bunch of other, Anthony Held, however you pronounce his last name, who probably most famously was Dr. Chilton in Silence of the Lambs, the first one from 1991. And there's like, this movie actually has a massive, massive cast, which is good. You want a lot of cannon fodder when you're making a monster movie. So the monster has plenty of people to snack on. So what we have at the beginning, as I said, this movie for the first... I want to say 20, 30 minutes, maybe longer. There is some hint of like monster action, and they do give you like a little title card at the beginning that says something about, you know, way down deep, there's these like fucking animals. We don't know what the fuck is down there, basically that kind of message. So you know that there's going to be, and there's like a, you know, like a shot of something swimming through some underwater shit, like with a growly kind of noise. So you know that there's going to be a monster coming into play at some point. But for a while, they do kind of set up a, essentially like a heist sort of situation. So there's this crew of like mercenaries, one of which is Treat Williams. And then he has like this other guy, Joey, who is played by the great Kevin J. O'Connor, who is actually in a lot of this guy's movies. And he's the best. I mean, he's kind of like the comic relief, but not in an obnoxious way. And apparently he did a lot of... ad-libs in this as well. So yeah, he's great. He's super funny. So he's kind of like the mechanic on the boat. You know, Treat Williams plays Finnegan, who's the captain. And then there's also Layla, who is another member of the crew and is also Joey's girlfriend. Now, so these are, like I said, mercenaries. They have a thing where it's just like, hey, if you're paying us money, we don't give a shit what you're doing. We're just, you know, if you need a boat, we'll take you someplace. We're not going to ask any questions. So they have this gang on their boat who, again, paid them to take them someplace, but they didn't really ask, like, what was going on. Turns out that this other gang that they're driving around on this boat, their mission is they're going to go and attack this new cruise ship called the Argonautica, which is kind of like this big luxury, you know, state-of-the-art cruise ship with, you know, hundreds, thousands of people on it. And what they're going to do is they're going to get on the ship, they're going to rob everybody, like the vaults and everything like that, and then they're going to torpedo the ship and sink it and, you know, probably kill everybody. So there's that. So you get a little bit of shit going on, like, on the cruise ship, which is run by Anthony Heald's character, Simon Canton, who is kind of this big... you know, sort of robber baron type character. And he's like, oh, my dream was to make the most luxurious, expensive cruise ship in the world. And thank you all you guys for, you know, making my dream come true and blah, blah. So there's that kind of thing. Mostly, though, you're following the mercenaries and the robber gang, the gang of robbers that's on this, you know, smaller boat. Now, on the cruise ship, there's also Famke Janssen's character, whose name is Trillian, and she's kind of like this international jewel thief spy kind of thing. So she's sort of trying to rob the shit, too. She's not trying to kill anybody. She's just trying to get into the vault and, you know, get all the jewels and money and whatever the hell is in there. So, the movie takes a while, like, setting up this dynamic, and, the mercenaries on the ship are kind of, like, slowly, they discover in, you know, in the ship's hold, they're like, what the, there's all these, like, torpedoes in there? It's like, that's probably not good. And so they're trying to ask again, well, what the fuck are we doing? Like, why do you have these? And then obviously the gangs sort of like pull guns on everybody and they're like, hey, you know, you just do what we tell you and we paid you and blah, blah, blah. So something hits the cruise ship from underneath. You don't really see what it is, but you're led to believe, you know, it's a monster movie. It's a sea monster. So it hits the cruise ship from underneath. The ship starts to sink. And one of the speedboats or lifeboat or something like that is jarred loose from the cruise ship. And the smaller boat hits that. So now the mercenaries and the robber gang are, you know, they are forced to kind of like go over and get on the cruise ship. And they're like, well, that's okay. That's where we were going anyway. So they get on there. But by the time they get on the cruise ship, because, you know, a little bit of time passes, they don't find anybody on board. Like, they get on board and everything's kind of like fucked up, obviously, because the sea monster hit it from underneath. And, you know, so there's shit everywhere. And then they come up and there's kind of nobody's there and there's like blood everywhere. And so they're just kind of like, huh, well, this is interesting. Like, where did everybody go? Like, did they all jump overboard or this is like really weird? So they're kind of weirded out, but then they're like, well, makes our job easier, whatever. So we're just gonna like find the vault and get the shit and get the fuck out of here. But obviously that is not how it goes. So once kind of that gets established and they all get on the cruise ship, and they're trying to figure out where the fuck everybody on the cruise ship went to. They're trying to, like, go through this massive ship and, like, find the vault. And, you know, it will surprise no one that the monster starts coming after them. Now, they also find Famke Janssen, who, because she was caught trying to get into the vault, the ship's brig wasn't done yet, so they threw her in this, like, a food storage pantry type thing where they could lock her in. So she actually avoided, because she was locked up, she avoided getting eaten by the monsters and or knocked overboard. So she kind of, like, joins up with them as well as they try to make their way out the boat. And like I said, the cruise ship is kind of sinking, too, because it's damaged. So they're trying to make their way, you know, get the money and get the hell out before the monster gets them. They don't realize what it is at first, and they actually don't show the monster for quite a long time. Like, they'll show, like, a little bit of splash over there, or they'll show, like, it's really good, like, the way they build the tension up. I really, really like the way that they establish the situation, like, the robbers and the crew getting on, or the mercenaries, like, getting on the ship and everyone being gone, and them, like, trying to figure out what the hell happened, like, where everybody went to. Because this ship had, like, hundreds of thousands of people on it, and now all that's there is just, like, people's stuff and then, like, some blood and stuff. So I really like that that setup, and I really like that it took a while, like, for the monster to kind of, like, appear. So the monster, when you finally see it, like I said, it's a cool design. It's just that, you know, CGI in 1998 wasn't really all that good, so you can obviously tell, you know, it looks like a video game type of thing. But it's not, I think, initially, because it was initially called Tentacle, and because the first glimpses of it you see are kind of like, look sort of like squid or octopus tentacles, so I was kind of thinking that it was sort of like a squid or an octopus, which it is, but it's also, it's actually based on a real sea worm, but much, much, much bigger, because I think, like, the actual worm that they based it on is only, like, this big, you know what I mean? It's, like, pretty small, like, only a couple of inches, whereas this one is, like, fucking giant, and it has all of these tentacles that, from what I could determine, seemed like they all moved independently, and each had kind of, like, little mouths. Either that, or there was a whole bunch of them, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't clear over whether this was one organism or whether it was just, like, a shit ton. Because when they get to the end and they find, like, the big boss, you know what I mean? And it's this really big, massive, and it kind of looks like an octopus, like it has a big, roundy kind of head, but it also kind of looks like a weird, like, sea worm type thing with, like, the mouth and everything. But then all of its other tentacles also have kind of, like, mouths and grabby, and they can kind of, like, go and, like, follow everybody. So I will say, too, that, so even though the monster design is, like, really cool, like I said, the CGI looks crappy, but, you know, what are you gonna do? It's the 90s. That's just what it looked like back then, sorry. But other than that, like, a lot of the practical gore, like, especially the one time where they find the quote-unquote feeding ground, because one of the things this monster does, and I think this was, like, a really nice touch, because this is, like, really horrific if you think about it, they said, okay, well, this monster doesn't necessarily, like, eat you. What it wants to do is it will kind of, like, take you in one of its little tentacles, and then it will, like, drink you like a Capri Sun, and then, like, you know what I mean? So you could actually, technically, and this does happen, like, in the movie a time or two, that you're still, like, alive while this thing is like sucking out all your body fluids, and then it'll like take you in, and then it like spits out your skeletal remains. So they find like at some point this massive, you know, this kind of like massive space like in the ship that the monster has been using for a feeding ground, and there's just like these goopy like red skeletons like everywhere, and it looks really cool. But yeah, I really like that shot too. And there's just really one of the most famous sequences from this too was there's this one guy named Billy who was one of the gang, like one of the robber gang with the missiles. And he gets taken into one of the tentacles or whatever of the monster. And then later he kind of gets spit out and he's kind of still alive, but he's sort of like half digested looking. And it looks really, even though it's CGI, but some of it's practical too, but it's like practical, looks like with some CGI like laid over it, but it actually does look pretty good. So I really did like that effect as well. But yeah, so I mean, to be honest, I can see why this got, you know, why this got a cult following. I don't understand why critics didn't love it back. You know, yeah, it's derivative of other monster movies, but like I said, there's only so much you can do within the monster movie parameters. And, you know, so I think that that kind of like does the movie a disservice by just saying, oh, it's like Alien, but in a different environment. I'm like, yeah, you're talking about like 99% of all monster movies. So what's your problem? I don't really know. But I didn't really get the hate for it because this is actually just a fun B-movie, monster movie. And it's actually like, for a B-movie, it's actually like pretty big budget. Like I said, $45 million. Even in the late 90s, that was, you know, nothing really to sneeze at for a movie of this type. And they had like really good people working on it. Like I said, like Rob Bottin and stuff. And, you know, I think I want to say Jerry Goldsmith did the score, which like I said, that's pretty prestigious as well. So this wasn't just like a throwaway movie. I think maybe what happened was that because of the delays in release, you know, and the fact that some other monster movies that were similar had come out subsequent, like came out before it, even though it was supposed to come out before them, and the fact that Titanic was out and was just kind of like crushing everybody under its feet like Godzilla, and you know, it's Titanic was also set on a boat or on a cruise ship, and so maybe people were like, oh, another cruise ship thing, no thanks, you know what I mean? I've already seen Titanic and a million times, so maybe it was that. So I do kind of feel like maybe the timing of the release didn't help it either. And maybe people were kind of like over movies on boats or over monster movies by that point. Because as I said, two or three other monster movies had come out right before it. So maybe it looked like it was a ripoff, even though it really wasn't. So, you know, I think a lot of things conspired to make sure this movie didn't do all that well. But I am happy to report that even though they didn't make any money on it at the time, at least the director, Stephen Sommers, you know, his career wasn't ruined, happily, and he actually did go on to do some good films like the Brendan Fraser Mummy ones, which are actually a lot of fun. And actually, if you like those, you'll probably really dig this too, because the tone of this is very similar. As I said, it's not comedic, but it does have a lot of funny stuff in it. Like the character of Joey in particular, because he did a lot of ad libs and stuff, was my favorite character easily in the movie. I love that actor anyway. And so he's just like this great, like sardonic character. And so I really liked like all the character interactions in it. Everyone's just very kind of like funny. But it's not like comedic, and it's still really gory. You know, there's still like a lot of really horrific shit happening in it. So it kind of has something for everybody. You know, it's like I said, it's just a lot of fun, just a fun, expensive B movie that doesn't take itself too seriously, but is still like a blast to watch. So if you want to watch it, actually, at the moment, I watched it on Tubi for free. You might also, I think you can also watch it on Amazon Prime for free, although I'm not entirely sure about that. But I watched it on Tubi, and it's for sure on there. And it is absolutely worth watching. I'm not generally a big fan of, and I think I've mentioned this before, I'm not generally a big fan of horror movies from about the mid-90s, like post-Scream to like the mid-2000s, because I feel like there was, like I said, a lot of it was just kind of like CGI fests, or they were like shitty remakes, or they were kind of like slasher reboots with, you know, kind of these bland, pretty looking people getting chopped up, and a lot of them were just kind of like samey. But this one was actually like really, really good for the time. I had a really good time watching this one. Really good monster movie. Monster was, even though the CGI is kind of crappy, it really is a good monster design and a good lore behind the monster, because it's like based on a real animal, but they obviously like made it like way bigger. So, and I liked the whole aspect about them like drinking people, because I thought that was like, and then spitting out the skeleton, you know, and I thought that was like really cool, because if you think about that, that's like pretty horrifying. And anything set in the deep ocean, like with big monsters coming from the deep ocean, that's automatically gonna be like scarier to me, because fuck that. I mean, fuck the ocean. So, like, you don't know what the fuck is down there. There could actually be something like that down there, we wouldn't even know, which is even more terrifying to think about. But yeah, seriously, go over to Tubi and watch Deep Rising if you haven't seen it. It's a lot of fun, and I kind of feel like I'm glad that now it had like a nice 20th anniversary release a couple years back, with a really nice cover, looks very Lovecraftian, and so I thought that was kind of cool. So it's cool that, like, you know, it's got some appreciation now. But if you have seen it, or if you haven't seen it, let me know what you thought about it in the comments, and that will do it for this Flickers of Fear, continuing on with Monster March, and I will see you guys on the next one. Bye!